So we're going to talk about pilon fractures and management and this recording. Get a lot of questions about when to use which surgical approach when treating these injuries. When do you go anterior? When do you go posterior? You know, what are the considerations for timing, etc.? So first thing is, I mean, I think you do have to sort of recognize when you have a, you know, when you have a high energy versus low energy injury, right? Because that may steer you towards deciding, do you need a external fixator? Do you need to get this out to length? Keep in mind, a lot of times intact fibula pilon fractures can be deceiving. You can have a lot of shortening and you don't really recognize it sometimes. So that's the first thing. And certainly there are studies, especially out of Vancouver, demonstrating that acute ORIF of AO type C pilon fractures can be safe done immediately, but most centers are still doing a staged approach to any of the complex fractures. So certainly I think on the injury films you should take particular note. You should certainly try to envision, you know, which way did the ankle go? Did it go laterally? Did it go medially? That is the foot. Did it go anteriorly? A lot of times you can very clearly see this, especially in a B-type fracture, right? So, you know, if the anterior plafond is smashed and the posterior plafond is still intact, you know, you'll often see on the lateral x-ray that the talus is sort of shearing or sort of impacted, or it's going anteriorly. So in these cases, clearly not only is the pathology anterior, but you want your buttress plate to be sitting anteriorly. And the same can be said for posterior, right? If you will occasionally see these posterior shearing type injuries. Usually it's not a lot of comminution, but you'll have a large posterior fragment. And in those cases, the talus often is subluxing posteriorly. If you see that, that is a case where you typically need to physically go posterior. Now, there'll be cases where there's a posterior malfracture or it's a C-type fracture and you need to kind of fix everything. But if you have one of these true shearing posterior lip injuries or large posterior, you know, plafond fractures where the, you know, talus is going out the back, you can just imagine it would be really helpful to have a buttress plate posteriorly. And those are the cases where physically I'll put the patient prone, we'll do a posterolateral approach, and we'll get right on top of it. It's really hard to do that when you're like supine. You can percutaneously put a screw from back to front, but it's really hard to really get great exposure and feel like you're really buttressing that way. Now, for most C-type fractures, although everything's fractured anterior to posterior, you usually go anterior. I mean, here you get a much better view of the joint. It's very hard to see intra-articular views from posterior approaches. Kind of the same thing with the tibial plateau. But from an anterior approach, you generally can see posteriorly. So what we do is, you know, you often, you know, need to get a distractor on. This is, I use the distractor much more in the ankle than I do in the knee, for instance, but I think a distractor across the ankle really helps. You typically work from back to front. That is, you first reduce and provisionally fix your posterior fragments, and then you work your way anteriorly, because if you start from front to back, you'll block your view. Right, so you kind of book it open, you work from back to front. And then whether you go direct anterior, which is what a lot of foot and ankle surgeons like to do, anterolateral, which is sort of the in vogue trauma surgeon approach, or anteromedial, which is one of the older workhorse approaches, they're all relatively similar. I mean, you're coming from anterior to posterior, it's just you're working in different intervals. And, you know, there's different reasons to choose one over the other. For me, sometimes it's, you know, whether you have open wounds that you want to stay away from, you know, how you have to draw your flaps out, how you plan on dealing with the fibula, that makes you decide where to place your incision. You know, anteromedial approaches have been somewhat implicated in more wound healing problems, so you don't see them used regularly as much. But I still think they have a place, and I think there are many cases where I will use it. And speaking of the fibula, I think there's been some recent evidence looking at fixing the fibula initially versus not. You don't see us fix a lot of fibulas provisionally, and the recent evidence will kind of prove that we've been correct in doing that. There doesn't seem to be any major advantage to fixing them provisionally. But certainly when I was in training and, you know, many surgeons of, I guess, my era or older, you know, were trained to fix the fibula right away. You get the fibula out to length, and you can still come back and fix the articular tibia fragments later. So you'll still see some surgeons do that. We generally don't do it, and I think it obviously keeps your options open also from not having placed any incisions around the ankle just yet, and doesn't necessarily you know, tie your hands with regard to having to work around pre-existing incisions. And also, they're not benign. I mean, I think we see, you know, certainly our share of wound healing problems with fibular platings. So I think many people have gone away from that immediate ORIF of the fibula to get it out to length. We just use the fixator to get it out to length. You know, of course, you know, wound healing issues are always a concern. You know, these are cases that, you know, the soft tissue envelope around the ankle is very delicate. You know, I'm very particular about, you know, wound handling, skin handling. You know, closure does have to be, you know, somewhat meticulous. And you also have to be very careful during the procedure that you don't devascularize the flaps. So, you know, I think the major points are these are bad actors. They can do poorly. If you're not careful, you can end up in, you know, the patient worse off from what you did than if you had treated them more minimally, you know, with more minimal treatment. That said, I think generally speaking, it's hard to argue with anatomic alignment. It's hard to argue with, you know, form leading to function. But on the other hand, we also know that ankle motion is not nearly as critical as you know, knee motion, for instance. And for that reason, because we want to avoid wound healing problems, many of us will immobilize even after ORIF, as opposed to, you know, in the knee and in the hip and elsewhere, elbow, where we like to, you know, get moving. You know, we will immobilize ankles for weeks, especially if we think that there's going to be a wound healing problem. Because if they get a little bit stiff, it doesn't seem to significantly impact their function, but can potentially prevent you know, wound healing problems in some situations. All right, so that's all I'm going to talk about in this discussion. Thanks for listening.